Item 17, Blue Crab discussion.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. In your packets, you have the bi-state press release with both governors commenting on the recent winter drift survey, and that'll consist of part of the information I share with you today. In addition, you have in the back of your packet the management measures that extend from 2008 when the commission established, along with Maryland DNR and Potomac River Fisheries Commission, a 34% reduction in female harvest in that year. And I think one thing to indicate is that the commission has very closely held to that management plan. There have been very few changes, and the same can be said for the other jurisdictions as well. So this gives you an idea for 2012 only, the total amount of crabs of all sizes. So recruits and what are known as spawning age crabs. 764 million crabs, which is a lot higher than we've seen probably since the early 90s. This shows that most of that 764 million is made up from the juvenile crabs, or crabs when they do the survey, which are greater than 10 millimeters and up to switch units here, up to about 2.4 inches. So 586 million in 2012. The most abundant, the record, as the news release indicates, from the history of the winter dredge survey, which started in 1989-90. And for these charts, you'll see a year. It really refers to an overlap. So 1990 refers to the 1989-1990 winter dredge survey. 2012 refers to December 2011 through about mid-March 2012. So a lot of small crabs. When we look at the spawning age crabs, those crabs which are greater than or equal to 2.4 inches in carapace width, you can see that the male component in dark blue has been pretty steady the last 3 years in terms of abundance, a little bit under 90 million male crabs that are part of the spawning age abundance. There was quite a drop, 50%. From 2011 to 2012. So here's 2012, 97 million crabs. So if you think of that in weight, it's probably on the order of 35 million pounds of crabs to start the season, female crabs for all the jurisdictions. And then you also have to think how many of those crabs will push through the spawning, which takes place roughly late May, on the first spawn, and into mid-July to mid-August, perhaps, as a peak for the second spawn. And then you also have to think forward how many of those crabs survive to the next winter dredge survey. So 97 million. That amount, as you'll see in other slides, is right in the middle of the 23 winter dredge surveys that have taken place since 1990. It's the median. It is not the average. It's below average, but it is represented by the middle of the time series. This is the spawning age abundance, and it shows you the new conventions that were talked about last year at the commission and which were subsequently adopted by all the jurisdictions, to where previously what you looked at was a 200 million spawning age target, which was males and females, and it was an interim target, and I think that was stressed many times, it was interim target. Well, now through the completion of the 2011 stock assessment, the mathematical and model-based approach to analyzing the health of the stock, The new recommendation has been endorsed by all the jurisdictions of 215 just female spawning age crabs. And you can see off to the right here that that has been exceeded twice, once in 1991 or 1990-91 survey, once here in the 2009-2010 survey or 2010, and it would have been exceeded this past season. However, you might remember there was a very extensive winter kill event in Maryland where they actually determined that there was about a 31% mortality rate in Maryland, and otherwise this would have been above the target. Then you come down to the recent survey, 2011-2012. This is 97 million. It is a low point in terms of the overall time series. There certainly are other areas which are more problematic that occurred in 1999, 2001, and 2002, because all of those events were below the 70 million females, which is the new overfished area, and 70 million, so you can see we had some problems in the past there. And 2012 is above the overfished area, but it's substantially less than the target. So this is also called a threshold. And the next slide shows total females, and it's 405 million female crabs. Well, if you remember how prolific the juvenile crabs were, since if that the juveniles are 52% female and 48% male, so if you take 52% of 586 and add it to the 97 million of the spawning age crabs, that's why you see 406 total females, or 405, pardon me. Now, the good thing about this is that the spring should be slow. There have been some comments that it started out well in Virginia, at least, with the harvest in March, and then things slowed down. That's probably a good event, considering that a lot of the exploitable crabs, females especially, in our bay, our lower bay, they were in lower abundance. And so what you can expect, at least according to both Maryland DNR and VIMS, is that by late summer, pushing into the fall, those smaller crabs will have become exploitable size, meaning there will be quite a few crabs during that time period. But we're not there yet. This shows the exploitation fraction. So you looked at abundance in terms of a target and threshold. This is looking at removal rates or exploitation in terms of a threshold, which is the red line, 34%. That means 34% of the female crabs of all sizes, juveniles and spawning age crabs, would be removed in a year. And if you get greater than 34%, then you're in a problem situation. You're in an unsafe situation, especially if it's perpetuated for more than a year or two at a time. Below this threshold, you have a target area, which is 25.5%, right here, the green line. And you can see that the last 4 years have been under target or very close to it. These 2 years, 2012 and 2009, are very close to the target. But that's good, because the expectation is that when you have a target, there are going to be events and exploitation which vary about that target. The consideration is that you don't want the variation to be above the threshold, but as long as they're within this comfort zone of the target, then management is doing something that is correct. This is something you haven't seen for a couple of years, and it puts both the abundance and the exploitation target and thresholds together. So really, this is pretty classical for fin fisheries, but what you have here is you have a situation where you're looking at abundance. And here's 70 million right here, less than 75 million. So this is the threshold. So if you were to have an abundance event such as you have up here, it's overfished. However, if you move over to the red line that's running horizontally, that's the age one female plus, or the spawning age females threshold for overfishing. And if you're above that red line, the crab stock is found, the exploitation rate is above that line, your exploitation rate is too high. And you can see some real problems in the past where both overfishing occurred and the stock was overfished in these years. So that has happened. We don't have 2012 because 2012 exploitation rate will be a function of whatever the 2012 harvest ends up being. So right now we only know the abundance, and that's the 764 million. And for the exploitation rate or the removal rate, it is based on all sizes of crabs. And of course, here's your target for the exploitation, which is 25.5%, and here's your target, 215 million spawning age females. So this puts everything in one area, which you may be able to see most of this, but it tells you the survey year when it ended. It tells you the total number of crabs in millions. So here we are in 2011-12 survey at 764 million. And it tells you the amount of spawning, amount of juvenile crabs, 587. It tells you the total male and female crabs at 178 million. And then it shows the 97 million for the female crabs. And you can go through the exercise of looking for situations where you can put this 97 million in context and you can put the 587 million in context. And what you might do is you might look at it this way. There definitely are years where the 97 million female age one plus crabs have been as low or lower. All these years, that has occurred, anywhere from 53 million female crabs and up to 97 million crabs. The only time that you can really find a situation similar to 1997, but at least there is one back in that year, 680 was the total number of crabs, and in 2012 it's 764. All these other years did not have the extent of juvenile crabs. The other thing that you see is that the number of juveniles was fairly similar, 512 to 587. What really is important about that is that this year was under the 25.5% exploitation rate. And that's very positive because that's under the target, actually. So even with the amount of crabs in 1997, and my pointer went awry, it's actually 23%. Even with the abundance being very good, the exploitation rate excellent, the harvest was also very good, 77 million pounds bay-wide. So you can probably, even though there's only one other data point like that, which is 2012, you can see that there could be a fair harvest by the time late summer, fall arrives, and the exploitation rate could still be near target. You can find instances where the exploitation rate, for example, in 2008, is under target. The abundance certainly wasn't anywhere near what we're seeing in 1997 or 2012 at just under 300 million crabs. And you see the compensation for the exploitation rate was a very low harvest, 43 million pounds. So at least the harvest tracked that abundance for that year and resulted in a case where there was not overfishing. You can see some other situations up here. These four situations, 1999, 2001, 2002, and 1995, where in all four cases there was too much harvest for the amount of abundance there was, and the result was very high. Matter of fact, those are the four points you saw in the earlier graph where there certainly is, in those years, overfishing of the 34% threshold in all 4 years. This shows the harvest of the three jurisdictions. Staff thinks it's notable that, as you saw last year with data, we have continued to increase from 2008 in these red bars, gone up each year. There has been an increase. It's been a little different in Maryland. Following 2008, there was a slight dip down. In 2009, there was about a 65% increase in the Maryland harvest. And then the last year, in 2010, excuse me, and then by 2011, their harvest dropped down again in Maryland. And in a meeting, they specifically indicated that the winter kill had part of that downturn in harvest because there was a large winter kill right before the 2011 harvest in Maryland. Potomac River seems to have increased a little bit more in 2010 and fallen back a little bit in 2011. So one thing to point out, this is just the Chesapeake Bay area. So for us, that's Chesapeake Bay and our tributaries, our Western Shore tributaries. This does not include our seaside area, seaside tributaries, which typically that area contributes close to 2 million pounds a year. This shows the track of our harvest. And definitely the increase in 2009, 10, and 11, not quite as much as before, but it's still on an upward trend. We don't have price data for 2011, and in a little while we'll go over some of the price data, but in general the trend we have is also showing an upward tilt. And if you look at our expected harvest for 2011, we still have some delinquent data. That continues to be a problem for us, so we do have most of the data in. There's some delinquent data. We do have to do a little bit of a projection at the tail end of this, and it looks like about just over 30 million pounds. Statewide, this is now, all waters. So this is to just let you know what's in place as we head into 2012, and I won't read all of these, but you're certainly familiar with a lot of them. There have been a lot of conservation measures put forward, both in the past from 1994 through 2007, and definitely from 2008 on. The coal rings seem to be favorable. There was a presentation by Danielle McCullough to our Crab Management Advisory Committee in March, and we expect to have some geographical representation by that study to look at area-specific retentions and releases, retentions of legal crabs, releases of sublegal crabs. But generally, the 2 and 3/8 inch coal ring did very well overall in both the retention of the larger size crabs and the escape of the sublegal crabs and small females. We still have a waiting list. I saw earlier that that's been updated, so I think this comes up to 135. There were some licensing problems, so two have been added to that. But I think what you can see is a lot of the waiting list has diminished since it started. 867 total, and now we're looking at 242 that are on the waiting list. And if you're not remembering that great year of 2009, I think we had appeals every month from January through June. We had data situations. We had health situations. I think it was a very good time for the commission because it really exercised a lot of knowledge to be able to get through that many months of a situation. We have the same closed season we've had for a few years. You may remember when it first started in 2008, it was October 27th, but it has been November 21st, 2009 on. The pot limits are still in effect. All the categories have a 15% reduction for the hard pots or the crab pots and a 30% reduction for peeler pots. The sponge crab was changed in June of 2010. It used to be all the way to July 15th, and in fact, when it first started out up until about 2007, it was just a blanket, no sponge crabs whatsoever. And the dredge fishery closure has been closed for four seasons, and that will be an item for the commission since it has to be reviewed on an annual basis and decided on an annual basis. To give you a little bit about the Crab Management Advisory Committee, there have been two meetings. The first meeting, as I mentioned, there was a presentation by VIMS concerning the coal ring experiments that they did over the course of really three years. And the other information I think I'll be covering in these slides, however, there was another situation where the committee was advised there will be this, for lack of a better word, visioning committee, a long-term basis to look at the future of blue crab management, blue crab industry participation, and it is being categorized as co-management. So it's going to be different than the typical advisory committee meeting where the commission is used to the advisory committee having recommendations and staff having recommendations. At least at this point, what we anticipate as a staff is that we will have consensus items that we can bring to the commission out of this long-term committee. And there is no doubt that some items that arise in that type of a futuristic committee will not be solved at the committee level immediately. Some of those issues may take some time before there's really consensus. So that occurred in March, and the CMAQ was advised of that. In the recent meeting we had April 19th, I think the event you just saw on the update of the stock assessment was provided to the committee, and I think overall it was not well attended, 6 out of 15. The previous meeting was 8 out of 15 members. But staff did not have the sense that the committee has come to terms with the target or the exploitation rate or the control rule overall. There's still a lot of questions about that. And granted, there was a static interim target for several years, from 2008 until 2011, and any type of change is going to cause a little bit of confusion. Dr. Lipschitz was here at the committee meeting, and he had an analysis where essentially he found that there were two periods, one of low abundance and one of high abundance, and in general, that analysis determined that 2012 does, even though it does have the low female spawning age abundance, it's not that unusual. And the chart that I showed a little while ago of those 10 winter dredge survey years tells you that it's not that unusual. Actually, the 97 million was the highest, and the lowest was about 52 million. So that has occurred. When this information first was unveiled to the jurisdictions in a preliminary manner, there certainly were lots of questions about the female abundance being dropping by half from one season to the next. And Maryland DNR, VIMS and VMRC, Potomac River Fisheries Commission, and NOAA participated in a meeting to talk about this. And I think going into the meeting, there certainly were thoughts that warm temperatures, which existed throughout the bay, may have had something to do with the lower abundance if crabs are still moving when they should be burrowing. And that was a discussion item. But I think all in all, based on information from Dr. Lipschitz, that the catch rates really didn't drop that much compared to other surveys. And there could be a situation where if there is a warmer temperature event, like the winter kill event from a freezing, there's no data to support that. In other words, the winter kill is actually determined by taking samples in the areas where the dredge has been, and so you can quantify the extent of winter kill and extrapolate it just the way they do the winter dredge survey. The warmer temperature event is nothing that can be quantified at this time, but I think there will be some approaches to look back at the 23-year survey, put in temperature regimes by the month and perhaps look at this. But in the meantime, a different scenario may be, according to Dr. Lipschitz, that crabs may have moved out of the bay. And so that's what happened at the CMAQ in terms of that information. I think Dr. Lipschitz indicated that there still needs to be some conservation to be risk averse. And you can read that last line. And what he means by the entire picture is this huge amount of juvenile crabs, record amount of juvenile crabs, as well as the very low exploitation rate we're just seeing happen for 2010. So CMAQ had some questions and comments, and we show them here as a listing, and you can read through those. I think the one thing that we did stress at their meeting was that no, less effort, less pots does not mean less harvest, and the problem with less pots is we really don't know that. I mean, it's pretty well known that fishermen are not adhering to their pot limits, and it's also well known that law enforcement can make cases, but it takes a lot of effort to make a case against someone who's overfishing their pot amount, let alone has pots set up in other areas besides the area where they're encountered. So, you know, that's one reason. The other reason is this idea, which has been around for a while, that if you have 100 crabbers in a broad area and you reduce that to 80, do you really reduce the overall harvest? Probably not, because crabs are patchy, and those harvesters have just an equal chance to get as many crabs as the 100 did. There was a little bit of bashing on the 21-point plan. That's the plan that existed from 1994 to 2007. And you may have heard this before, but when the Regulatory Review Committee, which Dr. Lipschitz was part of, looked at all our regulations, one of the conclusions was that those regulations at that time, during those periods of time, may have averted a collapse of the stock. Crab dredging remains an issue for the Crab Management Advisory Committee, and staff was asked flat out, are you going to open for 2 years now? Are you going to open for a year now? And the response was that a subcommittee needs to be formed to look at the experimental aspects of the fishery in terms of waste and damaged crabs. Right now, you're aware that we have very historical information on this fishery, which goes back into two seasons where staff participated on board 31 different crab dredging events. And we certainly have information that at times waste damaged crabs was extensive in certain areas. At times, it wasn't. In a lot of those areas, it was because there were 50 boats working within that area. The subcommittee needs to be shaped to evolve like an experiment, and there are many things to look at. There are historical areas that the crab dredge fleet has worked, Thimble Shoals Channel, Baltimore Channel, the Cut Channel in Rappahannock, Wolf Trap. I mean, they're known areas where also some of the bottom types are known. So that's one aspect that we want to talk about. What staff anticipates is having a subcommittee with VIMS. Mr. Palmer would like to be on the subcommittee, I know. Staff here, as well as with VIMS, the person who operates the winter dredge survey, and then probably four crab dredge fishermen. Two have already asked to be on, Ty Farrington from the Lynn Haven area, and Marshall Cox from the Eastern Shore area. We need two more representatives. We plan to have one from Tangier, and then the fourth needs to be someone who's been nomadic, who has worked the different areas in the past to bring that flavor to the committee. The committee is open-ended right now in ideas. It's a relatively new situation. Funding may be needed at some point from the Marine Improvement Fund. At that time, staff would need to come back to the commission to gain approval of that. And I think that probably the committee meeting, the first meeting, which we hope to have in May, will allow us to return and let you know more about the direction. But we do think that it's probably the time to at least look at this. It's been closed for 4 years. We are talking about going cautiously and getting all the information we can. And when you think about it, probably this year, December, is a good time for some experimentation given the amount of crabs that are expected by the late summer and fall. We know Maryland has already stated that they don't really think some of the things that we want to do this year are fair to their fishermen, and I might be mischaracterizing that, but Maryland plans to adjust their bushel limits to achieve status quo. What that means is they have had a June bushel limit. They're going to relax that, and they're also going to increase their August bushel limits to play the market better. And in the fall, September and October, they're going to reduce the bushel limits that they had in effect the last few years. Now, the idea is that doing that, they will still theoretically or potentially equal the management that they've had before. One thing that we know about bushel limits is bushel limits do work with really complete enforcement. You can have bushel limits work. And in fact, we have some bushel limits for the fall if that's necessary. And that brings up this idea of will there be trade-offs or not, or conservational equivalency. So what is meant by that is down below that you see the possibility, which you've heard before. You heard it last year briefly when Mr. Palmer asked about it, extending the crab pot season into December. And that has been a request really for a couple of years. And I think that and even the experiment for the crab dredge, well, those are crabs that will be not part of the spawning stock. But at the same time, there's 405 million females, including the juveniles, so that's pretty extensive. And it may be a good time for us to look at that and have proposals for you as we get beyond the summer, and as we can at least get an estimate of our harvest, get an estimate of the Maryland harvest, and get an estimate of Potomac harvest to that date. Because really, knowing the exploitation rate and knowing the abundance, the exploitation rate is whatever the target is. You know you have to get to 25.5%. That's what the stock should be at the target. The abundance we know coming in, 764 million crabs, you can solve for the female harvest, and that's one thing that we can sort of monitor. And then if we found that it was necessary that the harvest was at a rate that there needed to be trade-offs, that would be the time to discuss that on what would have to be taken care of to do those trade-offs. So it's just as complicated as usual, and even the December extension is complicated because you just saw we have a closure or a prohibition to female crabs that starts the 21st of November. So if there were an approach to extend into December, the commission would also have to consider just taking off that prohibition that lasts 10 days at the end of November, because it would be awfully awkward not to take that off and then start up again with the female allowable harvest in December. So
Rob, you're going to come back to us probably in September with an update on the harvest.
Yes.
And at that point, you'll have some opinion on whether we can extend the potting season into December, whether or not bushel limits need to be a part of that extension, and then you'll also have some design on a experimental crab dredge study that looks at quantifying mortality in that fishery.
I think that's all possible. And then I think probably if there were...
So we don't need to take... You're not anticipating us taking any type of action between now and September?
No.
I know the Potomac River is, the commission has instituted pot tagging, and I'm looking forward to see how that works.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that that's something that is going to turn out to be a good thing, and then maybe, you know, we can take a look at that to help the... I think the major situation that we have, the weak link is overfishing numbers of pots. And it is a select few. I don't think it's widespread, but I think it's something that does need to be controlled. And that way, we could, in the future, if we find that the number of pots out there, you know, we could back off on that or increase that as we need to, with the stickers.
My one concern in all of this is this low number of females spawners. If you'll recall, 2 years ago, we had very high numbers.
Right.
And we were fortunate because that provided a buffer, because the very next year we had that cold winter.
Right. That's bad.
And we lost a third of the female spawning stock.
If we do that next winter.
Now, if that happens this coming winter with this low number, we're back into some serious situation.
Yeah.
So we've got to be very careful about what we do. And I think that's the reason why we wait to make any decision until we have a little bit better feeling on how the harvest is going this year. Hopefully by then the staff will understand that by September, and then we can make some serious decisions.
And, you know, and as far as the crab dredging, I'm the first person to say I want to see science, you know, not emotion. And if it's, you know, if it shows it can be done in a, you know, in a way where the crabs are being protected and there's not a lot of waste and it's not overfishing, you know, I think it's something that, you know, we can bring back in. But, you know.
I think we have to be very deliberate.
Very cautious with that.
Yeah, and very deliberate. And the industry has been asking, you know, for more science on that fishery, and I think we owe that to them, and it can be done in a, you know, in a safe and designed way. And that takes a lot of the management uncertainty about it. You have some numbers on what that bycatch mortality really is.
Thank you for saying that, Commissioner, because there are two things I'd like to mention. One, again, is the spawning and the relationship to the cushion crabs or the sponge crabs. This continues to be an issue at the CMAQ, and as you know, I pointed out it was a situation where they gained 15 days in 2010 because that prohibition on possessing dark-colored sponge crabs now ends June 30th. There is data. Dr. Lipschitz is looking to bring data forward about June because in the past, at the commission level, Dr. McConaughey and Dr. Lipschitz, who was here at the time, were the ones who really brought forward information that temperature was the deciding factor and that June, you still would be able to conserve not only the larvae, the sponges, but also the female crab. And so there may be some more information on that. The second piece of information, I was just prompted unintentionally, bycatch, because when you look at our exploitation rate, it's the harvest divided by the average abundance, and that's your exploitation rate. It's that simple. Well, it doesn't say anything about non-harvest mortality or discard mortality or anything else. So this is something that really needs to be looked at, and perhaps a little bit of that from the dredge committee experiment, from looking at that situation, we get a little bit there. But there are peeler crabs and peeler pots that suffer mortality. There are, even though the size limit's gone up compared to in the past, there's still in the spring are green crabs that don't shed out. That's mortality. There is summertime where we've heard that in July and August that you can have mortality even of hard crabs in pots. So there are many sources of non-harvest mortality that are not factored in. It's just harvest. We assume that harvest is everything. When it's not, catch is everything. The second assumption, which we don't know how it's holding up, is the recreational fishery. In the calculations for the female exploitation, only 4% is used because Maryland does not allow females from recreational crabbing to be harvested, female crabs. So 8% overall, 4% for female crabs. But frankly, we haven't had a study since 2001. Maryland has had some studies, but it's a very difficult thing to pinpoint. But anyone's expectations would be as the stock increases, recreational interest also increases. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to mention that as well. Thank you.
Mr. Plumlee, you had a question?
Yeah, I just was curious. On that first slide with the juvenile crab population, I think you showed, I think the last time there was an equivalent population was around 1990.
Right here.
Maybe it was
two events. It looks like 1991 and 1994.
And I noticed that drop in between. If there was any event to explain that dramatic decrease there.
Whoops, let me go back one. Well, 94 was good, so I mean, you can see the drop off. Here's 93, and you have very high spawning stock. 94, it's dropped off quite a bit.
So, I think it might have been a previous slide. There we go.
Okay.
That's the juveniles.
Yeah. That's the silent manager, the environment. So when crabs spawn and the larvae are ejected out of the bay, I mean, they're well offshore for weeks. And any environmental influence, which has only had a little bit of exploration over the years, can tell you whether or not there's good recruitment. How many small crabs come back into the bay?
The
most variable of all.
My next question, which was really about the methodology of the surveying, and
okay,
what kind of adjustments have been made over the years, and I'm not asking for any kind of recitation right now, but I was curious to learn more about it. I don't get a lot of that in the materials that have been provided.
Yeah, so I think it's been a long time since the survey was adjusted. They say 1,500 stations. It probably can be anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500. The main change was actually in the early 90s, where there used to be 5 strata, and now there are 3. So the bay is divided into 3 strata, and we're in the lower strata. So that was one change where statistically that probably was a difference. But ever since that time, and I could pinpoint that year for you, looking back at reports, it's been the same dredge size. What changes, and you're uncovering things that can be variable, what changes is if you change a captain, if you change a vessel, it has an effect on the overall abundance. Because what they do, there are experiments that are done each year where you look at depletion of the crabs. So you tow back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You do so many tows within a defined area, and that gives you your depletion rate for crabs. If you have a new vessel that operates at a slightly different speed or a new captain who's not quite as familiar, that can change. Now, fortunately, the Bay Eagle for VIMS and the Maryland DNR captain have been on board for a while, literally and actually. So that part is good. However, what they do to smooth that out is they take 5-year averages. So they do it in 5-year blocks. So when they add on, the last year does not have a significant or does not have a substantial effect on the previous 4 years, and they keep this rolling 5-year average going. But I'll be happy if you have other questions.
I'd just like a little more information provided
sure.
on the subject, because I think when we come around to hearing from the industry about changing regulations, we're going to have a lot of questions about the surveying methodology that's not really at hand.
Yeah, I think Dr. Lipsius could probably update us on that as well. He's familiar. Any further questions on this subject? Everyone have a good understanding of sort of the direction we're headed on this? Then I think we're good, Rob. Thanks for the presentation.
Thank you.